Matthew chapter 14. We've been going through the things about what makes a great church. But I'll tell you, the first thing is, if you don't have Christ in your church, if we're not a blood church, I want you to take your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew. Blood-washed throng of people. We are not a church. Because Jesus is the head of the church. And so this is the third part of a four-part series on what makes a great church or what makes a kingdom church. 2 weeks ago, we said the first thing that you have to have Jesus. He has to be the head of the church. He has to be the head of every Christian. You can't say, "I'm saved," and then just go on and do your own thing. It doesn't work that way. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your Savior and Lord. And folks, in order for us to be an effective church, we must have Jesus in view. He must be our leader. We must follow His words. We must follow His will. The second thing that we talked about last week out of Philippians chapter 2 verses 1 through 5 is that we have to be united. We need to have the same mind that's in Christ. In verse 5 it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Paul's asking the church, he says, "Fulfill my joy, love like God. Be on the same page. Do everything to Him." The Bible says that we're supposed to do all things heartily, whatever in word or deed. So what makes a good a great kingdom church? Christ does. And it's the cross. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never accepted Him and what He did on the cross for you, if you don't believe that you're going to heaven today, you need to have that straightened out today. Amen. Got great news. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, and He offers forgiveness to all who will ask for it and believe in Him as Savior. It's as simple as that. But the third thing that makes a great kingdom church is that we minister God's way. We minister God's way. And we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. But in way of introduction, you know, we need to examine what our attitude should be about ministry. You know, I like to kind of give you the answer ahead of time. Wouldn't you like your teachers to do that when you were in school? Just give us the answers, we'll be fine. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 14 through 16, we see four things that should affect our attitude about ministry. The first thing is, it says, "Let all your things be done with charity." Charity is love. You know, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, "If I do all these great things and I don't have love, it's worthless." And folks, the big thing is, you'll minister, you'll help people that you love. That priest did not love that guy on the side of the road. That Levite did not love that guy on the side of the road. That Samaritan did. He saw a need and he had the compassion of God and he helped him out. Folks, you can't minister unless you love people. If you try to do that, it'll be empty and shallow and there will be no fulfillment in your life. The second attitude that we need to do is we need to be addicted to it. It's something that we ought to be compelled to do. In verse 15, it says, "I beseech you, brethren." Now he's talking to the church, fellow believers in Christ. He says, "Ye know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have" what? "Addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." Folks, it should be a passion for us. It should be a desire for us to be able to serve the God of the universe is the greatest privilege that we have. And He makes it available through all those who believe in Jesus Christ. So we have to do things through love. We have to do things through desire and passion. And the next thing is in verse 16, it says that ye submit yourselves with such. You know, you can't minister to people if you're always trying to get the upper hand in your life. If you're always trying to win. You know, when you play checkers with your kids, you let them win all you win all the time because you're superior. Okay? Or you let them win, right? You allow them to win. Why? So they'll want to continue on. And folks, we need to submit ourselves to the ministry. We need to be submitted to the Lordship of Christ. We need to submit ourselves to the unity of the body. And it says that ye submit yourselves unto such that you act like the house of Stephanas and addict yourself to the ministry. And then not only to that, but you know, when you have ministry and you're involved in ministry and you're working with people in ministry, the ministry should what? Grow. And you'll encounter people that you never thought that you would encounter before. And so in the last part of verse 16, it says, and to everyone. You don't get to pick and choose who you minister to. You minister who God puts in your path. And it says, and to everyone that what? Helpeth with us. You know, ministry is a help to people. Ministry is just like the Good Samaritan. He was a help to the guy on the side of the road. And folks, if our ministry is not glorifying God and helping people, then why are we doing it? Then why are we doing it? And to everyone that helpeth us and what? Laboreth. See, it's supposed to be, and it's going to take what? Effort. It's going to take effort. So this morning I want to share three things out of this passage this morning. So let's look at Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. It's the feeding of the 5,000. But it's a great illustration in ministry. And it says, when Jesus heard of... Now I got to give you some context. Jesus has just found out that John the Baptist has been killed. Okay? And the reality of it is Herod didn't like Jesus either. He didn't like the message. So Jesus is now, I need to get out of here. It's not his time. But when you want to get away, you're going to go to a place that no one would ever find you, right? Theoretically. Okay? When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a what? Desert place. Apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Now there's a real question for the disciples. What? You want us to do what? Folks, that's ministry. When God asks you to do something. There's your opportunity right there. Verse 17. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And you know that they look in the crowd. In other accounts of the gospel, they find a little lad that's got this. He's got his lunch. And it says, and he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave to the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they what? Did all eat. Folks, ministry is to everybody. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. You think that was an object lesson for the disciples? Absolutely. You know, God gives us lesson after lesson after lesson. Do we have eyes to see them? Do we have ears to hear them? And they that had eaten were about 5,000. You know, there's a lot of people say Jesus fed the 5,000. No, he didn't. He fed more than that. He just fed 5,000 men. It says, beside women and children. There are possibly 3 or 4 times that many there. So, we see this story here. And the first point that I want you to take away from this is that kingdom ministry or effective ministry, ministering God's way, is selfless. Is selfless. Go back and look at verses 13 and 14. In the first part of this, Jesus wanted to get away from the crowd, but the crowd followed him. And you know what's going to happen? Ministry opportunities may interrupt your life. You may get a phone call in the middle of the night when you're sound asleep. You may get someone knocking on the door. You know, Christ even talked about that in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, hey, somebody comes up and says, a friend come out from a long country, can you give me a prayer? I'm in bed, I can't get up. See, are you willing to be interrupted by God for ministry? See, to be selfless means that you'll allow ministry opportunities to interrupt your life. There's three results that come from being involved in ministry. The first one is that it will rearrange your priorities. It will rearrange your priorities. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Christ says this. You know, the disciples, well, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? Where are we going to live? What are we going to do? Jesus said this. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You do this first, you get your priorities in your life right, and God will take care of you. Maybe God's not taking care of you because your priorities are wrong. Ouch. But maybe. And all these things shall be added unto you. Last week we went through Philippians chapter 2. And see, we need to set our priorities. It's not about me, it's about them. It's about others. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, let nothing be done with through strife or vainglory, but in what? Lowliness of mind, let us esteem other better than themselves. You have to have a change of thought, a change of mind to minister. Because you might have to minister somebody who smells, or doesn't look like you, or doesn't dress like you, or maybe involved in something that you don't like. See, you need to esteem them others better than themselves. You know, Paul said Christ came to die for sinners, of whom I am chief. Folks, we're all sinners just saved by grace. And if you start looking at people, and I'll minister this, that, don't have faith with respect to persons, as it says in James chapter 2. Verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man on what? Also on the things of others. See, ministry opportunities may interrupt your life. If you have your priorities right, you're going to serve God first. That'll be okay. If you got others, you would just be dying for the chance to help others to do that. Okay? The second one is that as we studied the Good Samaritan and the kids thing, the second thing it'll do is it'll move us from being a me focused. That priest didn't want to get his hands dirty with the blood of that man. Neither did the Levite. They just went on the other side and walked away. Folks, how many times do we have opportunities that God puts in our hands and we know that God wants us to do something and we just go the other way and just walk around like Jonah? Okay? I don't like smelling like a fish. Okay? We should have a life that's well-pleasing and a sweet savor to God. We're supposed to present our living bodies as a what? A living sacrifice. So that Samaritan had a others mentality. You know, he stopped. He was on a trip too. But he took time to stop and help that man. See, Christ went to a desert place apart. He wanted to be by himself in his human thing. But then the opportunity came to minister, and he responded to that. Let God interrupt your life. Let Him interrupt your life. Let Him allow you to be used to do things that you never thought you could do before. Second thing about being selfish, it's not only what interrupt, it may interrupt your life, it may involve helping them that can't help themselves. So, in verse 14, so Christ goes by Himself. The impression is we don't want to be bothered, but a bunch of people follow Him. And he turns around and he looks at the crowd. And what happens when you see somebody and they may be coming down the sidewalk or they may be knocking on the door, and you hear that, you see that on caller ID, and you go, nah. We all do it, don't we? I'm just not in for that right now. See, Christ looks at this. And he said, Jesus went forth and he what? And he saw a great multitude. You know, ministry is to help those who were helpless. The man on the side of the road was helpless. He needed somebody to help him. Religion didn't help him. Someone who truly followed God's principles did. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12, here's something for us. This is what we're supposed to do as a church. We're supposed to, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. They can't even lift up their hands. What should we do? Lift them up. The second thing in the what? In the feeble knees. You see someone struggling through life, we ought to help them. We ought to help them. Obviously, they're struggling because they can't help themselves. James in chapter 2, he talks about that. He says, you see someone who's hungry. He says, warm and be filled. He says, what good is your faith if you don't help them? In James chapter 1, verse 27, this is actually a little two-part verse. He says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. So there's two parts to this. Let's look at the pure religion part. The pure religion part is ministry. He says here, to what? To visit the fatherless and widows in their what? Affliction. See, that's what ministry does, is to help people that need help. Help people that need help. Because they're there because they can't get out themselves. Is an opportunity to ministry. And then the last one is how we remain undefiled. We got to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. So see, kingdom ministry is selfless. You want to interrupt your life. Second thing is, it may involve helping those who can't help you or even help themselves. The third thing is, it may just simply involve opening your eyes. Here Christ looks. He wanted to go to a desert place apart. People follow him. And when he gets there, he looks out and he sees the crowds. And it changed his perspective. He said he saw a great multitude and was what? Moved with compassion. Folks, a lost and dying world out there should move us with compassion. Seeing what's going on in the world today should move us with compassion to do something that's right. And he what? Healed their sick. Well, I get around to it. In John chapter 4, verse 35, Christ says this, the disciples. He's talking to his disciples, he's talking to the crowd. He says, say not ye. He says, I don't want to hear this. Don't tell me this. There are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. He said, don't wait to what you think is the time to minister. Don't think for what you think is the time for God to use you. Let him interrupt your life now. He says, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. You need to open your eyes, church. We need to open our eyes and see all the opportunities for ministry out there. They're endless. They're endless. Like they are what? White, all ready to harvest. The time is now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Work while it is today, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. All these things, talk about now. Don't say, I'll get my job or my life in order, and then I'll do something. You'll never get your life in order. God's got to get it in order first. Surrender to Him. Make Him a priority. Make Him Lord of your life. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible says this, as we have therefore opportunity. I guarantee it, folks, you'll never see anything walking through life like this. You'll never hear anything walking through life like this. People don't want to get involved anymore. And that should not be the case with the church. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. See, there's three areas that we need to look for opportunity for. The first one is we need to look for the needs within our body. Those should be the easy ones. That should be the easy way of helping. Lift up the what? The hands which hang down. Lift up the feeble and the feeble knees. We need to look at needs within our community. Folks, the world needs Jesus. And that's the last thing is, the whole world needs Jesus. Are you involved in missions? Are you involved in giving to missions? Are you involved in outreach in the church? We need to get involved. The opportunities. That's how we can be a kingdom church. When everybody does this. A kingdom ministry is selfless. A kingdom ministry is surrender. In verse 15, them disciples are just like us. You know that? They're just like us. You know what we have to surrender? We have to surrender all of our excuses. Look at verse 15, what the disciples say. Okay, it's been a long day. Jesus has been ministering and everything else. And said, hey, Jesus, come here. The disciples, and when it was what? Evening. It's the end of the day. Clock out. We're done. It's dark. There's no more time. He said, look, his disciples came in and said, this is a desert place. Let's go find a hotel. Let's go find some comfort. Let's go down to Dairy Queen. It's been a long day. Let's get out of this ministry thing and do something for ourselves. You know, they say, this is a desert place. And what? And the time is what? Now past. Folks, the time is never past to do something for God. When's the time to do right? All the time. And send the multitude away. Just get rid of them all. And then we can have some time to our what? Selves. You know, we all do need some time to ourselves at times. But let God determine that. He knows your needs. And then that they may what? Go to the villages and buy food. So really, hey Jesus, you're probably hungry. We're definitely hungry. All those dudes out there, they're hungry too. Let's send them away and let's go find some food. Okay? It's not time to minister anymore. It's time to eat. And so, what they missed was this. See, we need to surrender our excuses and we need to be a minister where God places them. They were in a desert place. No, I'm sure the Ethiopian unit was probably glad that out in the middle of the desert, God plopped Philip out there just at the right time in the right place. Think about that. I think the Philippian jailer would probably be glad that God plopped Paul and Silas right into the jail and then had an earthquake. See, what we need to do is we need to be a minister where God places you, even though the unsavory places. The second thing is we need to be a minister where to those that God places in your path. Here's this dying, this hurt guy on the road, and people are walking on the other side until the one who decided he's going to do something about it. Folks, it's time to make a commitment to God. Say, God, you can interrupt my life. God, put people in my path I can do something about it for you. And then you need to be a minister of to those who God sends you. We need to be a minister of those God sends you. Are we continuing to make excuses on why you can't do something? I guarantee you keep on making excuses about what you can't do, you won't do anything.
Right.
Let God get involved in your life. Okay? He's good enough to save us. He's good enough to serve. Amen? We need to surrender. It's a surrender of what we have. Now, those disciples, they didn't have anything. You know, they left. They left with Jesus, and Jesus didn't stop by the Circle K and pick up some stuff. He didn't go to HEB. They didn't pick up some stockpile for the journey. They just left. This is a big object illustration for them. And all those people that said, hey, Jesus is out there in the desert. They were so excited about finding Jesus that they left everything. Think about that. Are you that excited that you're willing to drop everything and just run to Jesus? And so they get out there. Thousands of them forgot to take lunch. Think about that. Okay? They all thought, but there's Jesus. He's there. He can heal people. Let's get our sick friends to go and get them healed. See, the disciples didn't have anything to offer Jesus to feed the crowd. But they were there. They were available. And folks, that's the whole point. We just need to be available at times. God's going to provide. That's called grace. It says, my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory. The second thing is wait, you know, God can take little and do much. Go ask the widow at Zarephath. Later on, now, the interesting thing is after this, there's big crowds because they think they're going to get free lunch from God. But the issue is, God can take little and do much with it. Paul's advising Timothy in his letters to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, he says this. He says, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and make what? Make full proof of your ministry. How can you make full proof of your ministry if you don't have any actions to show for it? How can you say that you're a Christian if you don't do anything for Christ? There's a question that was asked to me this morning in our Sunday school class. See, the issue is that we need to make full proof of our ministry. The next thing is that we have to have a surrender of our self-dependence. See, there was no way they could take those 5 loaves and 2 fishes and break them up into 1,000 little pieces and feed that 5,000. See, God had to get inside of it. And folks, God's got to get inside of your ministry. God's got to get inside of your opportunity. God's got to get inside of your life. See, we need to recognize our power for ministry is the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, in my speech, Paul's talking about his ministry. He was given the ministry of taking the gospel to the Gentiles. That was his ministry. And to be an evangelist. He says, my speech and my preaching was not with what? Enticing words of man's wisdom. Folks, we always try to outthink things. And I think too many Christians try to overthink things. What we need to do is just surrender to God and let God, well, I don't think it should be done that way. My God's able to do above all that we what? Ask or think. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but with what? Demonstration of what? Spirit and in power. We need to recognize our purpose for ministry, which is to lift up Jesus. That is the purpose of ministry in the church. And then the third thing is we need to recognize our perspective for ministry. And our perspective for ministry is to uplift and encourage others. It's not about me, it's about others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He gave up everything and humbled himself and became a man and humbled himself to the death of the cross. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, we used this last week. We were talking about one body, one baptism, what for unity. But he goes on and talks about what God gives for spiritual gifts inside the church. God's equipped us. He's given us all the right people at this time to do what he wants us to do at this time. We just have to use it. But I guarantee you, nothing gets done unless we all get involved. We need to all get involved. But this is what ministry is supposed to do. This is what using your spiritual gifts is supposed to do. For the perfecting or the completion of the saints. For the work of the what? Everybody say it. Ministry. That's why God. That's why we have church. To spread the gospel and to equip others to spread the gospel. To equip others to spread the gospel. The next verse talks that we all come in the fullness of the stature of Christ. To the edifying of the body of Christ. So, kingdom ministry is about surrendering. Have you surrendered your excuses? Have you surrendered what you have? Have you surrendered your self-dependence for God? Lastly, kingdom ministry is to be servant-minded. To be servant-minded is to be submissive. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may what? Exalt you in due time. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, here's something the world needs to learn. Here's something people in the church need to learn. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Okay? In order to have the fear of God, God's got to be first place. He's got to be Lord. The second thing is to submit to one another. We have to be on the same page in music. We have to be unified. And then we have to minister. See, we need submission to Christ. We need submission to each other. And we need submission to a mission, which is what the church stands for. To be servant-minded is submission. Secondly, to be servant-minded is action. So in verse 18, they find the guy with the fish and the loaves, and Jesus said, "Bring them to me." Simple act. They submitted to it, and they brought them to Christ, okay? If they didn't do that, nothing would have happened. Nothing would have happened. So to be servant-minded is action because of his action. See, Christ told the disciples to go get the fish. And then Christ did the rest of the work. And then Christ gave the blessing and said, "Now I want you to distribute that to everybody else." Who made the extra fish? Who made the bread go farther? God did. He looked up to heaven, showing the lordship of God. Showing he's one with Christ, well, he's one with God. And then he says, "Okay, you bring your stuff to me, I'll bless it, and then I'll make you a channel of blessing that you go bless others with." That's ministry, folks. That's ministry. See, it's because of his action, and then he gives it to them, and everybody what? Was filled. It was because of our commission. And here's the last thing. You know, you might be going through, you may have had a week that you just felt empty inside. You may be going through life and you have some things that just feel empty inside. You just don't have any sense of direction at all. I got great news for you. God can fulfill that. He can fulfill that. Okay? To be servant-minded is to be fulfilling to others. Those disciples were able to feed thousands. And I guarantee you, they remembered that. No, they didn't. If you go on and they start talking about bread, they start talking about, and God says,
Don't you remember? Don't you remember this?
I'm not talking about bread. I'm talking about the leaven of the Pharisees. The people, the next group, say, free lunch. Let's go out and see Jesus get fed again. Okay? See, to be servant-minded is fulfilling to others. To be servant-minded is be fulfilled in this life. I guarantee you, on the authority of God's Word, that if you surrender to God and you start selling out to Him and you start going where He wants you to go, doing the things He wants you to do at the timing that He wants you to do, you'll be fulfilled. You'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory. He says, I'm going to give you life and life to the what? Full. Folks, that's what we need, is life to the... You want purpose for your life? Serve God. Amen. And folks, we just have to be obedient to what He says to do. And then the last thing is, it's going to be fulfilled in the life to come. In the parable of talents, or the pounds, God gives stuff to people, and they go out and they make more stuff. And they come back and the Lord said, I want you to come back and give an account to me. And the one that had 10 pounds came back and got 10. The one that had 5 came back and got 5. The one had one went and dug it in dirt and said, here's your one back. Because I knew you were a cheapskate. Okay? And not a blessing. But the one that did something with what God gave them got the same commendation. It says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Folks, God is watching us today. God is watching the opportunities that He puts in front of us, the people He puts in front of us. And He says, what are you going to do about that? And you know something? We're going to have to answer for every opportunity that we squander. And we're going to be blessed for every opportunity that we are successful in. I think we ought to just be successful, right? That's what we should do. The issue is, are we a minister of God? Are we a minister of God? Are we willing to allow God to interrupt our life? And if you say, nope, not now, some more convenient day, then you got to get the me out of your life and start looking at others. What do you need to surrender to follow Him today and to be an effective minister for Him? What do you need to change in your mindset to be a true servant-minded person? This is an opportunity to make that right with God today. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's what you need. That's who you need right now. Yeah. Don't leave here without knowing that you're going to heaven. Before us Christians, don't leave here without being right with Him. Amen? So are we a minister of God? That's the question we have to answer right now. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I ask You this time of invitation. Father, there's someone that just needs You as Savior. Lord, I pray that the first note they come out will show them from Your Word how they'd be saved. Father, for us to be surrendered, Lord, help us to just give it all to You today. And help us, Lord, to leave this place different than we came in and wanting to be Your minister. Lord, we're Your ambassadors. You've given us a strong privilege, a great privilege. Lord, help us to be worthy of that task, that we walk worthy of the vocation where we're called. We thank You. We ask these things to be done at Your time by Your Holy Spirit now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.